Blog
to God be the glory
Radio.
For the bull. To God be the glory for the great things that he has done. I want to welcome you to the Beauty from Ashes Ministries, BFA.
I am your host for this evening. My name is Pastor Verinda Cobbs, and I am the senior pastor and founder of Beauty from Ashes Ministries International. And we also have our assistant pastor, Pastor Talia Oxendine, who is on the call with us on tonight. And I'm just so thankful that you guys have joined us. I'm going to ask for those that are live, if you could just text me to let me know that you hear me loud and clear and that I'm able to be heard as we are preparing ourselves to go into our new series for this month, talking about the mercy of God. And so if you're on, if you could just shoot me a text just saying, hey, Pastor V, I hear you, you're on, you're live, that would be great. Amen, 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 amen. I'm just asking if someone could just shoot me a text just saying, hey, we hear you, you're on, you're live, that would be great. Amen. We are going to be starting a new series talking about the mercy of God for the month of December, which as I've been studying, this has really blessed my life, just thinking about how much God loves us and how much he appreciates us as his children and how he desires that we live a life of peace and victory. And the only way that can be done is if we truly are connected to him and able to build this relationship with him that he so desires. He's created us to worship him and to praise him and to give him honor and glory, and that can only be done as a result of our sacrifice and our commitment to him. And so if you desire to be closer to God in this season, I want to encourage you just to continue to trust him and pray and talk to him every single day, because that's the only way that you're going to be able to build a relationship with God that's powerful. That's the only way you're going to be able to build a relationship with God that is amazing. And so as you are going through your life, you will understand and know him to be, hallelujah, the God of your salvation, to be the God who has kept you, that has watched over you, that has protected you, that has continued to just be with you through every single thing that you have experienced in your life. And God wants us to know on tonight that his mercy endures forever. And mercy, hallelujah, means that he is loving us and that he is forgiving us and that he has a plan and a purpose for our lives. And so the fact that his mercy endures forever, it just gives us hope that we don't have to quit, but that we can continue to persevere every single day of our lives so that we can get to a place of victory. I'm just going to ask real quick, if someone is live and on, if you could just shoot me a text just saying, hey, Pastor V, we hear you, you are clear, and we hear what you're saying on tonight, that would be great, because I want to make sure everyone is able to hear me clearly. This is a new thing for me. I'm not technologically savvy in any form, and so I'm still learning how to operate this system and making sure that I'm doing this the right way. And so I want to make sure that I am able to be heard as this message is being recorded on tonight. If you are on with me on tonight, if you could turn your Bibles to Isaiah chapter number 46. Isaiah chapter number 46. It's interesting because I was praying and talking to God about some things, and he led me straight to this text. As soon as I opened my Bible, this is where he led me to. And so I truly believe that if he has us in this word, he's going to show himself mighty and powerful in what he's going to have me to share with you on tonight. And so if you could turn to Isaiah chapter 46. Now, I will tell you that we're going to start at verse number 3 and go to verse 13, but all of this is pertinent so that we can be able to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying on tonight. And so, again, that text is Isaiah 46, starting at verse number 3. Isaiah 46, starting at verse number 3. Amen. Give you guys a second to find that, whether you have your Bible or you have your phone or you may be looking at your tablet. I want to make sure that everybody can find the text. If you don't have your Bible, that's okay, because we're going to read it. And so just read over it when you get an opportunity so that you can be able to get some clarity about what God will have this word to speak and to say unto you. Amen. And thank you guys for reaching out to let me know that you can hear me. Amen and amen. All right, so we're going to start at Isaiah 46, verse 3, and it says, "Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all you who remain of the house of Israel, you whom I have upheld since you were conceived and have carried since your birth, even to your old age and gray hairs. I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. To whom will you compare me or count me equal? To whom will you listen or liken me that we may be compared? Some pour out gold from their bags and weigh out silver on the scales. They hire a goldsmith to make it into a god, and they bow down and worship it. They lift it up to their shoulders and carry it. They set it up in its place, and there it stands. From that spot, it cannot move. Though one cries out to it, it does not answer. It cannot save him from his troubles." Verse number 8, "Remember this, fix it in mind. Take it to heart, you rebels. Verse 9, "Remember the former things, those of long ago. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. I will make known the end from the beginning, from ancient times what is still to come. I say my purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. From the east I will summon a bird of prey. From a far-off land a man will fulfill my purpose. What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that will I do." Somebody needs to let that marinate. "What I have said, that I will bring about. What I have planned, that will I do." Verse 12, "Listen to me, you stubborn-hearted, you who are far from righteousness. I am bringing my righteousness near. It is not far away, and my salvation will not be delayed. I will grant salvation to Zion, my splendor to Israel." Amen. If you could take just a few seconds to pray with me as I pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, God, we are so grateful that you have given us this opportunity to come to study your word. We pray, Father, that you first forgive us of our sins, God, anything that we have said, done, or thought that has not lined up with your word, that you have mercy on us according to your loving kindness and your tender mercies. God, that you blot out our transgressions and cleanse us from our sin. Even now, God, anything that is in our minds, our hearts, our spirits that is not like you, we pray that you remove it in the name of Jesus, God, and that you give us the ability to have understanding of this word on tonight so that we can be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We thank you, God, because you have watched over us today. You have kept us today. You have strengthened us today. You have brought us a mighty long way, and for that we say thank you. Father, you have been faithful. You have been consistent. God, you have been unfailing. You have been so powerful, God. Father, and even if we had 10,000 tongues, it would not be enough to give you the glory that you deserve. So even now, God, we just come in reverence and adoration and exaltation. Father, we come in submission. We come in worship. We come in praise. We come, God, glorifying you. We come magnifying you. We come praising you because there is none like you in all the earth, Father. Our hearts cry out, hallelujah, that you are great and mighty in our lives. Father, as we look at who you are to us, God, we understand that we are not worthy, Father God, but it's because of your grace, because of your mercy, because of your love for us, God, that we are able, God, to open up our mouths to praise and worship you. Hallelujah. On tonight, Father God, we pray that you will inhabit, God, the praises of your people. And even as we look into your word, show us ourselves, God, show us the areas, God, that we need to get right. God, show us the areas, God, we need to get together. God, show us the places, God, that are in us that are not of you so that we can be transformed and changed to be better than where we started this call. I pray in the name of Jesus that the words of my mouth, God, and the meditations of my heart will be acceptable in your sight and that the people will hear absolutely none of thee, but all of thee. We love you, God, and we bind the hands of the enemy on tonight. We declare, God, that this word will go forth, God, with power and with authority, Father, and that as people hear this word, they will be changed and they will be able to walk in the victory that you have given us. When you sent your one and only Son, Jesus Christ, into the earth, hallelujah, he suffered, bled, and died for our sins, but he rose again on the third day. Now he's seated at your right hand, and he's praying for us. Hallelujah. You also said in your word, God, that we are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And so for that, God, we say thank you. We love you, we honor you, and we give you praise. This is our prayer on tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and the people of God said amen and amen. Amen, guys. We are starting this month talking about the mercy of God. And so as I have been studying, I am coming to find myself not just doing a lot of repenting, but just really understanding God and how much he loves us. He loves us way more than we can ever fathom, way more than we can ever imagine. And as he loves us so much, as he's loving us, as he's reaching out to us, he desires that we live a life of victory, but also that we begin to walk in a position where we are serving him. And I believe somebody has struggled, hallelujah, because you have looked at yourself in the mirror and you know you. You know your areas of vulnerability. You know your areas of weakness. You know what you have done, hallelujah. You know the mistakes you made and even sometimes have felt like a mistake. But through this series, God is showing us that his mercy endures forever, that he has a purpose and a plan for our lives, and his purpose and his plan is first and foremost is that we live in peace and that we have a relationship with him through Jesus Christ. He desires that we rest, hallelujah, and we begin to walk in a place where we are delivered and set free, because when you're living in a place where you're walking in deliverance, you have peace, hallelujah. And many of us have not had peace because we have not truly understood the mercy and the grace of God. We have not had peace because we have not completely received the grace and mercy of God, and we have not had peace because we have looked at ourselves instead of understanding that in spite of who we are, that God still desires to clean us up and make us whole. He desires that we walk up out of the places of darkness of our lives. He desires that we come up out of the mess of our lives. He desires that we change the way that we think. He desires that we change the way that we live so that we can be able to be all that he's called us to be. And I believe that somebody needs to lift up a praise right there, because you have tried to figure out, hallelujah, why you're still here. You've tried to figure out how a God could love you so much. You've tried to figure out how a God could continue to forgive you over and over again. You've tried to figure out how God continues to bless you in spite of your mess, in spite of your mistakes, in spite of where you've been, in spite of how you think. God continues to get up every morning and breathe breath into your body that you may be able to live, hallelujah, and move and have your being in him. Do I have somebody that can just take a minute and just praise the Lord with me? Can you say, God, I thank you that you continue to wash me clean every day. Father, I thank you, hallelujah, that in spite of what you know about me, you are continuing to deliver me every day. God, I thank you that you know all of my faults and you continue, hallelujah, to give me strategies and your word so that I can change the way that I think, so that I can change the way that I act. Can you give God a praise, hallelujah, that last year this time you were not walking with him the way you're walking with him now? Can you give him a praise, hallelujah, that he is still using you, that he has chosen you, that he has justified you, that he is glorifying you, that he has a purpose for your life, that he has a plan for your life, that he has moved you, that he has shifted you, that he has changed you, that he has renewed you, that he has revived you, that he has allowed you to get back up again? Do I have a praiser on the call on tonight that would just glorify him, hallelujah, that you did not get the punishment that you deserve? Do I have a praiser on the call right now that knows the mess you survived, and it's nothing but the grace of God, that you don't look like what you've been through, you don't look like what you've done, you don't look like what you've experienced, but it's the mercy of God that's allowed you to be able to say, God, I got to continue to walk in your purpose and plan. Hallelujah. So on tonight, we're going to kick off that series. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We're going to kick off this series on tonight by talking about the mercy of God. And the title that God wants me to share with you on tonight is Waiting on Deliverance. Waiting on Deliverance. Hallelujah. In this season, God is searching for those who have a pure heart to serve him, not a form of godliness and not perfect, but a pure heart, quick to forgive, quick to repent, and constantly desiring to get up each day with a heart to live a life pleasing to him. And so here in our text tonight, in Isaiah 46, verses 1 through 4, you see, hallelujah, that Cyrus, which is a Babylonian god, hallelujah, you see, Cyrus would carry out God's judgment against Babylon. Bel was the chief deity of the Babylonians, and Nebo was the god of science and learning. And so here, these idols of Babylon, these gods, hallelujah, with a little g, had no power at all. These idols were not, hallelujah, into, they were not capable of saving the people of God. Captivity, hallelujah, they were not capable of saving the people of God from being taken into bondage. They were not capable of saving the people of God, hallelujah. And so you see these gods with a little g who have, hallelujah, been given by God the authority, Cyrus had been given by God the authority to take these Babylonians gods down. And so you see in this text on today that these gods had no power at all. Hallelujah. These idols were not capable of saving the people of God from being taken into captivity. And they were gods with a little g, which would be hauled and thrown, hallelujah, around by God. And God wants us to know on tonight, hallelujah, that the giants that you have been looking at that appear to be giants, the enemies of your soul, these spirits that have been trying to take you down, these things that have been trying to consume you, that he has given, hallelujah, authority, hallelujah, for you to be delivered and set free. God wants you to wait on deliverance on tonight. Hallelujah. God wants us to know that we, hallelujah, we have him who's walking with us. We have a God who is the God of heaven. We have a God who is God in Kadesh. He's our sanctifier. He's Jehovah Jireh, our provider. He's Jehovah Rapha, our healer. Hallelujah. And not only that, but he's also Jehovah Mepal, which is our deliverer. He's our deliverer and he's our deliverance. God loves us, he created us, and he cares for us, and he will take care of us throughout our lifetime. He promises to bring us out of captivity, but in order for us to get to this place where we are brought out of captivity, we have to believe in who God is. We have to believe in the power of Jesus Christ. We have to believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have to believe, hallelujah, that Jesus, because he has overcome the world, that the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from our sin. We have to believe that God has, hallelujah, authorized for us to be redeemed, to be restored, to be renewed, to be revived, and to be delivered. God loves us, he created us, and he cares for us, and he will take care of us throughout our lifetime. He promises that he is going to bring us out of captivity. And so as explained in Isaiah 46, we see that Israel was tempted to waver between, hallelujah, the Lord God and their pagan gods. We see that they struggle and they waver in their faith, in their worship, and in their dedication to God, despite countless warnings of judgment, promises of love, and even through provision, they still struggle with receiving deliverance. God wanted them to know that he loved them so much and that nothing could compare to his unfailing love for them. He had such a glorious plan for their lives, just like he has for us. His consistent purpose is to carry out what he has planned for us. And as we look at our lives today, many of us have battled, many of us have struggled, and we have had a tough time receiving God's deliverance too. And I think about the children of Israel. I think about how many prophets God sent. I think about how many people God sent, hallelujah, to try to bring them out. He wanted them to know his unfailing love. He wanted them to know, hallelujah, his mercy. He wanted them to know his forgiveness. He wanted them to know that he had something that he wanted them to do, and he mainly wanted them to show, hallelujah, forth his glory. He wanted them to be an example in the earth of who he was, hallelujah, and they struggled because, hallelujah, they were waiting for something to happen at times that did not happen. They struggled because of their unbelief. They struggled because of doubt. They struggled because of fear. They struggled because they wanted to create these idols and these pagan gods that they could see, instead of understanding that the God that they could not see was watching over them, and he was showing them who he was every single day by the fact that he would provide for them, by the fact that he would protect them, by the fact that he would forgive them, and he would allow them to be able to have life and to have provision. But for some reason, they still struggle. And many of the reasons why they struggle is because instead of them waiting on God, they try to take matters into their own hands. And I believe that I'm talking to some people on the call tonight, that instead of you waiting on God, you have tried to take matters into your own hands. And so you waiting on him. You have tried to fix it yourself. You tried to work it out yourself. You tried to think through it yourself. You have tried to do things, hallelujah, to make it be put together instead of you truly waiting on God to move in your life. You have tried, hallelujah, to fix your finances, and therefore you've created a mess. You have tried to fix your marriage, and therefore you've created a mess. You, in your own strength, have tried to fix your relationship with your children, and you've created a mess. You have tried to fix your employment situation, and you have created a mess. And so, therefore, you're looking around, hallelujah, and some of us have looked through the year 2015, and we said, hallelujah, all of the things that we desire to accomplish this year have not been taken care of, and many of the reason is because we have tried to do this thing on our own instead of letting God lead us, instead of letting God guide us, instead of letting God direct us, instead of letting God give us wisdom and understanding about what we're supposed to do. We've looked in the mirror and we've looked at our insecurities. We've looked in the mirror and we looked at our issues. We've looked in the mirror and we looked at how big the problem has been. And instead of us trusting God, instead of us depending on God, instead of us leaning on God, we have tried to do it ourselves. And I want to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, hallelujah, that you have created a mess, but that means that God is now, hallelujah, having an opportunity to create a miracle. And I believe somebody needs to praise God right there, hallelujah, because you know that you've created a mess out of some things and there's some mess in your life, but in spite of the mess, you believe that God can still create a miracle. Today, God wants us to make a commitment to start over. Hallelujah. I know it's not January the 1st yet. I know that it's the end of 2015. We have not gotten into 2016 yet. Hallelujah. We have not tapped into, hallelujah, New Year's Eve yet. We have not even gotten to the last week of December. But I believe that somebody on this call tonight needs to make a decision and a commitment to start again. Hallelujah. You said at the beginning of the year that you wanted to lose weight and have not done so. Will you start again? You said at the beginning of the year that you wanted to go back to school and have not even looked at the paperwork. Will you start again? You said at the beginning of the year that you wanted to have your own business and you started the business and it's not working. Will you start again? Hallelujah. You said that you were going to work on improving your marriage and it seems like nothing has happened that has been, hallelujah, identifying that your marriage is progressing. Will you start again? Hallelujah. You said you wanted to be a better, feel like you failed. Will you start again? You said that you wanted to be stronger in your spiritual life, but you have not prayed, you have not read, and you have not been able to get to church as much as you have liked to. Hallelujah. Will you start it again? Will you try this year, hallelujah, before the year's over, on this, hallelujah, Monday night, will you make a commitment to start over? Hallelujah. Will you start over? The Bible says a righteous man falls 7 times but gets back up again. Will you, hallelujah, not look at the mess that you made this year, but you will you make a decision to get back up, hallelujah, so that you can see the miracle, hallelujah, next year? It might not come by December the 31st, but will you make a commitment that you're going to step up, hallelujah, and start over, and you're going to begin to see some things happen in your life in 2016? God desires, hallelujah, to bring us out, but it starts with our commitment. He desires that we live a life free from sin and full of peace, joy, and power. His mercy is being extended to us so that we can walk in lasting freedom. And this is the thing, hallelujah, many of us have not been able to walk in lasting freedom because there have been so many areas of our lives that we've needed to be delivered. But I believe, hallelujah, that God is a deliverer. All we have to do is ask him. Hallelujah. The Bible says ask for what you need and not to forget to thank him for his answers. Will you make a commitment on tonight to ask God to deliver you? Will you make a commitment on tonight to begin to turn some things over to God? Will you lay aside the weight and the sin that will so easily beset you? Will you make a decision on tonight that you're going to forgive yourself and get back up again? Will you make a decision on tonight that you're going to forgive your spouse and get back up again? Will you make a decision on tonight that you were going to forgive your children, your friends, your enemies, those that have hurt you, those that have talked about you, those that have run you down? Will you even forgive yourself for the mess you made this year and get back up again and start all over again? And so as we talk about being able to wait on God's deliverance, the first thing we have to understand is what is the mercy of God? What is the mercy of God? God's mercy can be defined as forgiving, compassionate, to count as not guilty, to not give a guilty person the deserved punishment, to pardon, to acquit of sin. tonight is that his mercy endures forever. That means that he, hallelujah, wants to forgive us. He wants to cleanse us. He wants to break off the sin off of our lives. He wants us to live in peace. He wants us to live holy. He wants us to live a righteous life. Hallelujah. He desires that we live in peace and victory. But the only way that's going to happen is if we receive his mercy. He wants to pardon us. He wants to take our sins and throw them into the sea of forgiveness and allow us to start again. He wants us to get back up again. Hallelujah. To make a commitment to live holy, to make a commitment to wait on him, to make a commitment to be a part of his kingdom. Luke chapter 1 verse 50 says, his mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. Deuteronomy 4 verse 31 says, the Lord your God is a merciful God. God is so amazing because his mercy is new every morning and it endures forever. He just wants us to get to a place where we receive it. The truth is that many of us are aware of this fact. We know that mercy exists, but because we also see our areas of struggle and where we have not been delivered, it causes us to engage in this battle internally that says either we can't be delivered, we will always struggle, God has forgotten us, or that we have messed up too much to be delivered. And I want to tell somebody on tonight, hallelujah, that even the word of God says that if I make my bed in Hades, that God will be there. David understood, hallelujah, that there was nothing too hard for God to do. Hallelujah. And so wherever you may find yourself, hallelujah, God wants you to make a commitment tonight, hallelujah, that you are going to receive his mercy so that he can begin to deliver you and clean you up. Somebody needs to be delivered from negative thinking. Somebody needs to be delivered from falling short in your marriage. Somebody needs to be delivered from condemnation. Somebody needs to be delivered from bitterness and unforgiveness. Somebody needs to be delivered from lust. Somebody needs to be delivered, hallelujah, from the people pleasing, trying to please other people. Somebody needs to be delivered, hallelujah, from self-harm, harming yourself. You may not be physically harming yourself, but emotionally you harm yourself by living through this consistent place of pain where you continue to just think on those negative things, thinking about what you're not, thinking about what you're not qualified to do, thinking about all of these insecurities and all of these things that are internal that are not anything like what God's word says about you. Some of us need to be delivered, hallelujah, from having a poverty mindset by thinking that you'll never have enough, by thinking that you are not enough, by thinking that you have to be somebody that you're not instead of you just being you. God desires to clean you up, to deliver you, and to set you free. He wants you to know that you are not in a position where you are impossible to be delivered. Hallelujah. He wants you to know that it's possible for you to be delivered, but you have to believe that by receiving his mercy. Hallelujah. And there are some of us on the call that we have a mindset, can be delivered, and we are determined that we're going to continue to wait on God until our deliverance comes. We're going to be like Jacob to say, God, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. There's some of us on this call that we've been waiting on deliverance for a long time. Hallelujah. And David said, I believe that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. There's somebody on this call that you have prophesied that thing to yourself. Hallelujah. And no matter what has happened, you are not going to quit on God. Hallelujah. People may be shady, phony, and fake, but you're not going to quit on God. You might have issues in your finances and in your marriage, but you have been made, you made a decision that you're not going to quit on God. There's somebody on this call that your confession is not that you can't be delivered. You're just waiting on the manifestation of your deliverance. You're waiting on God to do it, and you believe that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. You're waiting on him to do it, and you believe that if you continue to stand, he eventually is going to do what he said. You believe, hallelujah, that you may have gotten knocked down, hallelujah, every month this year, but you're determined that you're not going to quit. You're not going to take a TKO, but you're going to get back up again and keep fighting in the ring of life until the manifestation of your deliverance comes. And whoever you are, you can just praise him right there. Hallelujah, God, I'm going to stand until I see you break, hallelujah, everything that's on me Hallelujah. And so the question on tonight is, will you wait on your deliverance? And so you say to yourself, okay, Pastor V, what do I do as I wait on my deliverance? I'm so glad you asked that, because that's the question that I asked God when he gave me this. Hallelujah. What do I do as I'm waiting on my deliverance? What do I do as I'm waiting, hallelujah, for God to change, hallelujah, some things in my life? What do I do? And this is the thing, hallelujah, God is able to deliver us, but the thing that God is most concerned about, he wants to change the way that we think. The Bible talks about in Romans 12, 1 and 2, hallelujah, I beseech thee therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body is a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable act of worship. And then it says, and be not conformed to the ways of this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. What does that mean, Pastor V? That means that God is trying to change the way that you think. He wants to change the way that you think about yourself. He wants to change the way that you think about your life. He wants to change the way that you think about, hallelujah, the habits that you have that are not pleasing to him. God desires to transform your mind. Hallelujah. He wants to transform your mind, because when he can transform your mind, he can transform your life. And the B portion of Romans 12 and 2 says, and then you will be able to test and approve what God's good, pleasing, and perfect will is for your life. It is not until you get to a place where your mind is transformed that your life will change. And I'm talking to somebody that you have been so frustrated with life. You have been looking at some things in your life, and it seems like nothing has changed. But this is the thing. God is trying to change you. Hallelujah. And so nothing around you will change until you change. Hallelujah. Nothing in your atmosphere will change until you change. And hallelujah, once you begin to change the way that you think, you will recognize that life is not as bad as what it may have seemed to be this year. You will recognize that you are not as bad off or as messed up as you thought you were. But because of the grace and the mercy of God, you have been, hallelujah, delivered, transformed, set free, and you've been renewed and revived by the power of Jesus Christ. God wants you to change as you're waiting on your deliverance. Hallelujah. In order for us to be able to get to a place of deliverance, first we must understand what we are waiting for. Deliverance means to rescue, to liberate, to redeem, to turn over, or to give up to. Psalms 18 verse 2 says, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. So when we say we're waiting to be delivered, we are waiting to be rescued. We are waiting to be redeemed. We are waiting to be strengthened. We are waiting to have the strength to give up on our bad habits. We are waiting to be in a position where we can walk away from the bondage of our lives, where we can walk away from the internal struggles, where God can pull out those things that cause us to struggle internally, which manifest themselves in an external battle. God wants, hallelujah, to deliver us and set us free from our bad thoughts and our negative thoughts and our lustful thoughts and our discouraging thoughts. He wants to transform the way that we look, hallelujah, at him being a provider. Instead of you thinking you have to fix your financial situation, hallelujah, by you getting into his word and understanding what he says about finances so that you can begin to change the way that you look at money. God wants you, hallelujah, to be delivered, but you have to be committed, hallelujah, to wait on your deliverance. You got to be committed to wait to be rescued, to be liberated, to be redeemed. You got to be committed, hallelujah, each day to say, I'm going to do better than what I did on yesterday. And somebody, hallelujah, needs to declare that, because the enemy has been fighting you in your mind for so long, making you feel like you have messed up too much. God wants you to know on tonight, hallelujah, all you have to do is make a commitment that each day you're going to do better than what you did the day before. God also wants to bring us out of our brokenness. Some of us are addicted to being in a painful life. We want, hallelujah, very much to change, but because all we know is brokenness, all we know is pain, all we know is captivity, it's difficult for us to receive the fact that God has already given us an ability to enjoy our everyday lives. And this may seem foreign to some of you guys, because for so long you have always known pain, but God wants to take you out of your pain and move you into a place of peace. He wants to move you out of perplexity into a place of peace. He wants you to come out of your problems into identifying that you are truly blessed so that you can be able to have peace in him. While we are waiting for deliverance, we are also asking God to change us so that we won't leave the same way we came. And I think about how some of us, we go to church, we get the word, we listen to sermons and we get the word, we listen to songs and we get ministered to, we see somebody minister, hallelujah, and dance, and it blesses our souls. But there's something on the inside of us that still has not changed. And so we go to services, we listen to conference calls, we go online and listen to sermons, we have people praying with us, we have people prophesying to us, we have people ministering to us, we have people calling us and telling us what thus saith the Lord. We're online looking for a word. We're, hallelujah, getting words through text message, through email. We're subscribed to 50 devotionals. We're reading, hallelujah, devotionals in our phone. We're reading devotionals in our iPad, on our tablet. But something on the inside, hallelujah, has not transformed. And so we have not experienced deliverance because we are still the same way that we were before we read it. The same way we were before we heard the word. The same way we were, hallelujah, before we went to the service. God desires that you come up out of, hallelujah, just receiving, hallelujah, a word just to feel good, but now taking the word and applying it to your life so that you can begin to change the way that you think. Many of us, we are, if we really look around, our life is not as bad as what we think it is. We have made it that way because we have allowed the enemy to put these things in our minds that have caused us to think that things are a big mess. But I want to know, is there anybody on the call that will begin to look at some things and prophesy to it and say, you know what, my life is not as bad as what I think. My finances are not as bad as what it appears to be. Hallelujah. My marriage is not as jacked up as I thought it was. Hallelujah. Will you begin to prophesy? I know what it looks like. Hallelujah. I know what it feels like. I know what it seems to be. But will you begin to prophesy and say, hallelujah, this will not always be like this. Hallelujah. The Lord is perfecting that what concerned me. And sooner or later, it's going to turn in my favor. It's turning around for me. Will you touch yourself on tonight and say, I am going to be delivered. This will be the brokenest I will ever be. This will be the most frustrated I will ever be. This will be the most depressed I will ever be. It's turning around in my favor. Will you prophesy to yourself tonight and say, I am not a mess, but I am a miracle? Will you prophesy to yourself tonight and say, everything that I've been through this year, God's going to get the glory for? Will you prophesy to yourself tonight and say, they that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength? I'm coming up out of my low place. I'm coming up out of my dry season. I'm coming up out of my empty place. I am going to be delivered by God. And so the question that we were asking, and that I was asking God, was why? What do you do as you are waiting on deliverance? Because this is the hard part, because we hear these words and we get these things, these revelations and things of that nature, but what do you really do while you're waiting on your deliverance? I'm glad you asked, and we got to go back to the word in order for us to understand this. And so let's go back to Isaiah 46 and look at verse number 3. And it's so interesting that the first word in that scripture says, listen. And that's where God had me start for the first point. What do you do as you're waiting for deliverance? The first thing you got to do is listen. You got to listen. Touch yourself and say, I got to do better with listening. To listen means to hear, attention. Hallelujah. When you are hearing and you're paying attention, you begin to see something. Hallelujah. Before you can experience deliverance, you have to be willing to listen. You got to be willing to be teachable. You have to be open. You have to pay attention. Hallelujah. God says in this verse, hallelujah, listen to me, house of Jacob, all you who remain of the house of Israel. And so when I saw that, immediately what came to my spirit was that Jacob means trickster, manipulator, stubborn, disobedient, rebellious, and hard-hearted, being a know-it-all, hallelujah, being prideful, being in a place where you're not teachable. When we struggle with our ability to listen, we become very distant from God. And I'm going to be honest with you, hallelujah, that many of us, we struggle with this because, hallelujah, we have had situations in which the people who we thought we were supposed, hallelujah, to be able to learn from and grow from, they have hurt us in some way. And so when God sends someone into our lives that has been assigned, ideas and our ideology about the term father, we have not been able to receive or listen to God or other people. Hallelujah. Have mercy on us, Lord. We have struggled with being able to grow because we are not open to listen. And that's one of the reasons why we haven't been delivered. Hallelujah. That's one of the reasons why some of us, hallelujah, cannot be transparent about where we are. Hallelujah. We will struggle internally because we know, hallelujah, that if we begin to share, then that's going to cause us to be vulnerable. And I don't know if your vulnerability is with you and your relationship with God or you and your relationship with others, but God desires to tear that wall down because this is the thing. If we don't listen, we won't learn. If we don't learn, we won't grow. Hallelujah. God has assigned people in your life to minister to you, to mentor you, to encourage you, to build you up. And there's some of us that have also been assigned to minister, to encourage, and to build up others. But because we have, hallelujah, sometimes the stubborn spirit, we're not able to hear what thus saith the Lord. And God has to send a word in every shape, form, or fashion. You've got 20 confirmations, and you're still waiting on another one. How much more do you need to know, hallelujah, that God has a purpose and a plan for your life? There's some of us that have denied, hallelujah, our call to the ministry. There's some of us that have denied our call, hallelujah, in that relationship, our call in our sphere of influence on our job. We have pushed away the purpose and the plan of God because we think we know it all. And some of us are thinking we know it, knowing that thinking that we know it all is based off of us and our insecurities, thinking that you're a failure, thinking that you're a mess, thinking that you're not worthy, thinking that you are broken and too broken to be used. That is not the truth. Hallelujah. It may have been true in one season, but that's not the truth now. God desires to use you, and he desires to use somebody else to bless you. Hallelujah. Many of us are standing in our own way of deliverance because we won't listen. Have mercy on us, God. Hallelujah. So Jacob means being in a place where you are disobedient, stubborn, and rebellious. And I believe that there's somebody, hallelujah, that will repent on that on tonight and say, Father, forgive me for being disobedient. Forgive me for being rebellious. Forgive me for not listening. Forgive me for not being open. Hallelujah. There's some of us that we pushed away the people who love us the most. We won't receive their love. And because of that, we're struggling. There's somebody assigned to hook you up to an IV so that you can be able to have the hydration of the water of the word of God, but you won't receive it. You're so stubborn, you won't even humble yourself to receive it. There's somebody that's assigned to speak into your life, but you have so many walls up, you don't trust them. So you're thinking that they're going to hurt you again. And that's not true. God has these individuals in your life so that they can pour into you. Amen. And then there are others that he's assigned for you to pour into them, but you've pushed them away. Hallelujah. There are others that God has assigned for you to encourage, but you push them away because of your own issues. And this thing is not even in my notes, but I feel it so heavy in my spirit. Hallelujah. You're running from the person who has, hallelujah, the key to your deliverance. You're running from the God that has the key to your deliverance. You're running from, hallelujah, the God that wants to bring you out. You're thinking you're not worthy, and he's saying, come unto me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You're looking at all of the things you're not instead of looking at the fact that God has called you, that he has chosen you, and that he has a purpose and a plan for your life. Hallelujah. God wants us a place where we are transitioning into walking in his peace. And so when you're in this place where you're not listening and when you're struggling, you are prideful, you are hard-hearted, you are guarded, and you are even sometimes rebellious. Hallelujah. Listening also means hearing and following through. Amen. That means you listening and hearing and following through. And that's one of the things that, and I'll be transparent, that I'm working on. Not just listening and hearing, but also following through. Following through with assignments. Following through to see things to the end. There's some of us on this blog call tonight that we don't ever finish anything we start. And God is trying to give us the opportunity to finish the stuff that we start. But because we hit these roadblocks in our lives, we just quit right there when that may be the very place of your deliverance. Amen. You've shut down in your marriage, but that may be the time where God wants you to open up and begin to express how you you feel. You have shut down, hallelujah, as it relates to trusting God and praying, but that's where God wants to minister to you and bring you back to a place of wholeness. But you have to be open enough to listen so that you can be able to make an effort to try your best to do the right thing. It's time to stop fighting, people of God. It's time to step out on faith and to listen to God. Hallelujah. It's time for us to listen to others. There's somebody in your life, and I don't know who this is for, but there's somebody in your life that God has assigned to pour into you, to minister to you, but you won't receive it because you won't listen. You have done your own thing for so long, and it's not working. Have mercy, Jesus. So now it's time to listen. Amen. You've done your own thing and it's not working out for you. So why not take an opportunity to listen to God? Why not take an opportunity to listen to the person who God has assigned for you to be able to be poured into from? They have the life that you're waiting on with the words that they're going to speak over your life. Amen. The second thing that we have to do is we have to let go of our idols. And as we look at Isaiah 46 verses 5 through 7, we see how the people of Israel struggle with being able to live in peace because of the many idols that they had created in their lives, these pagan gods that they had made. And when I looked at the definition of idol, it is an image used as an object of worship. It is a false god. When we operate in idolatry, we worship idols or we have admiration of an undeserving object or an undeserving person. Who or what have you made an idol? Who or what have you made an idol? Hallelujah. Have you made your spouse an idol? Have you made your children an idol? Have you made your church an idol? Have you made success an idol? Fame, fortune, your parents, your relationship, a friendship. Hallelujah. Have you made material possessions? Your job, your friends, your pain, your rejection, lust, money, or even your will or your desires? What have you made as an idol? What have you put up to be the center of your joy, the center of your focus, the center of your attention, to the point where if that is not working the way you think, that you just shut down automatically? What have you put at the forefront of your life to worship? Hallelujah. And worship, hallelujah, means you're paying so much attention to it that it has consumed your thoughts. Has your marriage taken, hallelujah, your thoughts to a place where you're not able to truly walk in purpose? Have your relationship been the center of your focus? Hallelujah. Have your financial situation taken your joy and depleted your strength? What have you made an idol to tonight? God wants you to tear that thing down and begin to walk in his peace. What or who has become the center of your joy or your happiness? Where, hallelujah, have you put this thing in your life? God told me a couple of weeks ago, he said, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is also. Will you allow God, hallelujah, to put you in a position where you can begin to let go of your idols and tear them down? Matthew 6, verse 33 says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. It's time to let it go. It's time to tear it down. Will you tear it down on tonight? Will you say, you know what? No longer will this relationship consume my joy. No longer will this be the center of my focus and my attention to the point where it's taking my strength. No longer will I look at myself in the mirror and look at myself as a mess and make that an idol. No longer will my rejection be an idol. No longer will my pain be an idol. No longer will lust be an idol. No longer will my mistakes be an idol. No longer will my financial situation be an idol. No longer will these relationships in my life that did not work out be an idol. God, I am willing to put you first. Lord, I repent on tonight, hallelujah, for putting these things first and for allowing these things to consume my joy, my strength, and my peace. Will you repent on tonight? Will you repent and say, God, have mercy for me taking, hallelujah, these things and putting them in front of pleasing you? God, forgive me for me taking these things and putting them at the forefront of my thoughts. God, forgive me for taking these things and making them the center of my world to the point where I've not been able to function in the fullness of what you've called me to do. Can you repent on tonight? Hallelujah. Will you give it back? Hallelujah. And just let this thing go. Will you tear down this idol? Hallelujah. Will you turn that marriage over back to God? Hallelujah. Will you turn your worry back over to worship? Will you turn your perplexity back over to prayer? praise, where you say, Lord, I'm letting this go. I'm tearing down this idol so that you can be able to get the glory out of my life. Hallelujah. And the third thing that you have to do in order for you to be able to say you're waiting, as you're waiting on deliverance, you got to let God have his way. Amen. As we look back, many of us have had experiences where God has delivered us. We know what it means to be set free from something, and we know how to walk away from pain into peace. We have had seasons in our lives, hallelujah, where we've been able to walk out of sin into righteousness. Will you allow God to do it again? Will you allow God to bring you into a place where you are restored, where you are healed, where you are made whole? He wants us to draw closer to him, to make a decision to walk out of bondage into a place where we have balance. He wants us to walk, hallelujah, in a position where we can say no and not allow, hallelujah, the things that other people want us to do to consume our focus and our attention, but we can say yes to God. Will you be willing, hallelujah, to be in a position where you will finally be who God's called you to be, not trying to be like anybody but you, not trying to please anybody but God? Will you finally turn yourself back over and say, God, I will say yes to you again. I will turn this back over to you again. God, I will let you have your way in my life. Hallelujah. He desires that we are positioned where we can be great. As he told Abram, he said, I'm going to make your name great. He wants us to be great, because when we are in a position of greatness, we give him the glory. He wants us to be great, because when we are in a position of greatness, we give him the honor. All the glory belongs to him. And many of us have said, you know, that we will give God all the glory and the honor. Let the glory and the honor come as a result of your obedience. Let the glory and the honor come as a result of you being an example of God's deliverance. Let the glory and the honor come as a result of you being delivered and great, victorious and great, hallelujah, loving and great, being a leader and being the best leader you can be, being strong and being the best, hallelujah, strong person you can be, not trying to be strong in your own strength, but being strong in the strength of God. Will you make a decision on tonight that you will let God have his way? Because this is the thing, he loves you so much, and he wants to deliver you. But the question is, will you wait on him? Will you listen? Will you begin to let go of the idols, and will you let him have his way? Because this is the thing. Many of us have struggled for so long internally. Hallelujah. And that's who I'm coming for tonight. I'm talking to those individuals that you are struggling internally. Your battle has been on the inside. Your battle has been in your mind. Your battle has been, hallelujah, in the inside of you. You've been fighting on the inside. And people see the outside, and the sad thing is some of us have gotten upset because nobody sees the struggles that we have. They don't see the challenges. They don't see the battles that we're fighting, because we have been able to put on a mask for so long that nobody can even tell that on the inside we've been hurting on the inside. We've been broken on the inside. We've been bitter on the inside. We have been wounded on the inside. Our hearts are aching with pain. God desires to deliver you and set you free on tonight. Will you allow him to break the strongholds off of your mind tonight? Will you allow him to break off the pain off of your heart tonight? Will you allow him to tear down the walls that you have built up to try to protect yourself, but yet and still the enemy has caused you to go into this isolation where you are really hurting even more? Will you tear those things down and say, God, I'm waiting on my deliverance. Lord, I stretch my hand to thee. No other help do I know, because I understand that you are my deliverer. Will you pray with me on tonight? Father, in the name of Jesus, God, on tonight we come, Father God, praying and talking to you, God. We come, Father, in repentance. We come asking in the name of Jesus that you will give us the ability to walk out of bondage into our place of deliverance. God, help us to walk out of captivity into the place of deliverance. Help us to walk out of our struggle into the place of strength, Father God. We repent for, Father God, you grief and loss because, Father, we have not been obedient to some of the things that you have asked us to do. We repent, Father God, for the times that we have looked at our mess and didn't feel like we could pray. The times that we've looked at our mess and didn't feel like we could minister. The times that we've looked at our mess and didn't feel like we were worthy. The times, God, that we rejected you you because we looked at our mess and we looked at all of the things that we were not, God, instead of the fact that you have created us in your image and in your likeness. Father, on tonight we stretch our hand to thee. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we ask, God, that you will allow us to have a renewed mind. Help us, God, to be delivered by being able to listen first to you. Father God, every time we have been disobedient, every time we've been rebellious, every time that we have forsaken you, every time that we have rejected you, every time that we have not walked out what you've asked us to do, we repent for it tonight. God, we repent asking that you will have mercy on us, God. Asking, Father, that you will create in us a clean heart and renew in us a right spirit. Father, help us to have a willing spirit that will sustain us. God, help us, God, to understand that we have to get to a place where we trust you in every part of our being. And that also means us trusting you to be our deliverer. God, us trusting you to be the one who sanctifies us. Us trusting you to be the one that sets us free. Trusting you to be the one that provides. Trusting you to be the one that heals. Trusting you to be the one that brings us out. Father, on tonight we pray that you will help us to be obedient. Help us to listen to the leaders that you have put in our lives. Help us to be open and receptive to those that you have sent to us to minister to. God, help us to be open and receptive to the ones that you have assigned for us to pour into. Help us to be receptive, Father, to the ones that you have assigned to pour into us. Father, help us to be open, Father, that we can be teachable and not to be stubborn. We pray, God, that you will tear down the spirit of pride. God, the places where we have put up these idols, God, the places, God, that we have put up these things, God, that have taken the center of our attention, the center of our focus, the relationship, God. God, the things, Father, that have caused us, God, to be out of position, the marriage, God, the things that have caused for us, God, to fall short. Father, God, our internal struggles, God. God, you know everything that's in us that's not of you. So even now we ask that you will help us. Father, help us to tear down these idols, God. Even now, every altar that we have created, Father God, in our minds. Father, every altar that we have made as a result, Father God, of us putting our jobs as the center of our focus, God, as the center of our attention. Us putting, Father God, people pleasing as the center of our attention, God. Us putting, Father God, even our pain as the center of attention. We ask that you tear down, Father God, these idols, God, that you tear down, God, these altars, God. Break these altars down that we have made that are not of you, Father. And we ask in the name of Jesus that you will help us to understand, Father God, that you desire that we have clean hands and a pure heart, that we not lift up our soul into vanity, nor do we swear deceitfully. Father God, we understand that we are the generation of they that seek him, that seek thy face of Jacob. God, help us to lift up our heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up the everlasting doors, that the King of glory shall come in. Who is this King of glory? God, we understand that the King of glory is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So even how we let go, and we let you, we let go, God, and we let you, God. We let go, Father God, of our thoughts, our will, our desires, and we let you have your way. We let go of our wants, Father God, and we replace them with your desires and your wants. We let go of our feelings and our emotions, Father God, that we have struggled with for all these years. God, and we let you have your way. God, we let go of our worry and our pain and our perplexity, and we let you have your way. We let go of the rejection and the hurt and the pain, God, that we have experienced, and we let you have your way. Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, God, that you will renew us, and so we make a commitment tonight to start over again. We start over, God. Father, we start over, God, starting over to do what you've called us to do, not in our own will, but as Jesus said in the Garden of Gethsemane, not our will, but your will be done. And when these things are said and done, we'll give you glory, honor, and praise. This is our prayer on tonight. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And the people of God said amen and amen. God bless you. I want to thank you guys for joining us on tonight and for being a part of this BFA Live Blog Talk Radio. I want to ask you guys, will continue to keep us in prayer. If you are local in the Richmond area, join us on Sundays at 6209 Lakeside Avenue in Reco, Virginia, 23228. We would love to have you. God bless you. Have a good night and go in peace. I love you guys. And at this time, this show is over.